Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Eater's Digest, a show about all things food and dining. My name is Daniel Janine. I am a producer at Eater.com. My co-host, Amanda Clute, is away this week. And on the show, I am talking to Chef Toriano Gordon. He is the man behind an Oakland sensation called Vegan Mob. I kind of found out about them a few months ago. He opened his first restaurant like a little over a year ago, and it has been such a success. They're already expanding. It is a huge social media sensation. If you haven't seen it, check out Official Vegan Mob on Instagram. You will not be disappointed. But Toriano is super fun. He started his career as a rapper, did some things in food, did some things in music, and now has this incredible brand that he is running and is just exploding. So I talked to him about how he got into the position that he is in now, how he manages his marketing, how the brand has dealt with COVID-19. As always, if you like the show, please remember to send it to a friend. Pass it on. You know, that helps. Give us 5 stars on the platforms. And here is Toriano Gordon, Vegan Mob. Toriano Gordon, thanks so much for coming on the podcast.
What's up, man? What's up? What's going on?
In the present, in right now, you have one of the newest, most successful food businesses in the Oakland area, and you are in the process of expanding to San Francisco, which is an enormous, crazy, wild market, and I know that's going to be a whole new set of headaches. But I just wanted to rewind a little bit to get a sense of how you got into this position right now. What was your first kind of experience with like food service and hospitality?
Ooh, my first experience was actually on the Starbucks count. I don't know. Well, I'll leave Starbucks out. My first experience we'll start from being a little kid, you know, being in my grandfather's restaurants. Him owning the Ruler Peak and Napio Cafe, which are still both around. His ex-wife still owns the Ruler Peak, and a friend of his still owns the Napio Cafe. They were French cuisines. One is still a French cuisine, and the other is now Italian. But I grew up in those restaurants. My dad that took care of me was my stepfather, not my biological father. Because my biological father has been in jail for going on 27 years. But the one who raised me, my stepdad, he was French Moroccan. And so I believe I grew up around some of the best food that you can possibly eat. Like French cuisine is some of the best food. And then I grew up in San Francisco, so I always loved food. You know, I think we have some of the best cuisine in the world. And I just always like had a passion for music and food. Like it's my favorite thing. I love to rap and I love to cook. And so I got into went into culinary academy, and it only lasted for like a month because I was still like dealing with addiction and I was young, so I was partying. In the streets.
And when is this? How long ago?
It's probably like 14 years ago. Probably around like I was like around 26, 27.
So back then you went into culinary school.
Yeah. Well, I tried to change my life basically. Cause I didn't have a job. I was doing music. I was somewhat living like criminal, you know, criminal lifestyle, you know. So I was trying to change my life and going to my passion. But San Francisco rent, my addictions to, you know, negative lifestyle, and kind of took me away from that. And so it didn't last too long. But I learned a little bit.
Even in that 1 month?
Yeah, in that 1 month. Mostly like about stuff that I use now, like sanitation and, you know, things like that, like a lot of the important things.
But I'm sure at the time those were the most boring classes you could have imagined.
Oh, man, it was. But I got A's in those. I was like happy because I was getting A's. And, and I wasn't, you know, I never got A's. And so that showed that it was something that I was really interested in.
But you dropped.
I dropped out. Yeah, I dropped out. I ended up getting, you know, clean. I stopped drinking. I went through a program. And straight out of the program, I met my sponsor. And this is crazy. My sponsor walked up to me and he said, "You look like a restaurant manager."
Yeah.
Well, in the program, we had to wear like suits and stuff. Like, this is how we had to dress. So I was like, what? I was like, man, I was like, that's crazy. Because someday I want to open my own restaurant. He said, I own a restaurant. You know, a taqueria. And so he hired me and I worked there as a cashier, but I always tried to get on the line and things.
Yeah.
Which was crazy because, you know, it was taqueria. So everybody there was Mexican and they're making Mexican food. And so,
yeah,
you know what I mean? But they were hella cool. They taught me. So that's how I learned I got the barbecue at, you know, the barbecue burrito. And that's how I learned how to learn to roll burritos.
Yeah.
Because that's a taqueria, right? Yeah. They taught me how to do it. And so
it's a pretty specific thing to tell someone they look like a restaurant manager.
That's crazy, right? And I talked to him about that the other day. And he said he remembers that. And he's like, man, I remember that. I remember telling you that. And I was like, man, that, I was like, I never tripped off of it to like now. Like that's hella crazy to me. Like for you to just walk up and tell me that I look like a restaurant manager.
But at that point, so you, that, I mean, what is that, like 10 years ago?
That was exactly 10 years ago.
So at that point, you hadn't fully committed to restaurant life though, right? Like you were still involved with music?
I was, but I was transitioning. Mm-hmm. Like I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do. At that point, I was just trying to change. I was really just trying to change. And I felt like music.
Yeah.
Still part of the old me. So I had to get away from that. With the music I was doing, it was putting me in positions to be around certain things, you know what I mean? Like the streets and alcohol and stuff like that. So I wasn't strong enough to be around it again. So I was moving away.
Right.
But I did start to do music again, and then I've released albums since then. I went to another place. I ended up working at another spot. And I actually worked in being like a sous chef. So I learned that, and I have no experience. And I walked in and I told him, this is my passion. Could I get a job? And he gave me a chance. And I learned some cool things from him. After that, I got with my wife, who I'm with right now. And I kind of ignored the food thing as far as the profession. I just will always cook at the house and these things. I ended up going back to school. And getting my BA. And then my mother-in-law will always push, like, you need a truck, need this, you need that. Like, we go, right? And I was like, I don't know what she's talking about. You know, like, yeah, later on. But I wasn't thinking about that.
Right. So you got your BA, and then you were working around Oakland. But then at some point you went vegan, right? And this is before the truck happened.
Yeah, I went vegan. I was in the master's program. I went vegan, and I was working actually in Richmond, California, with underserved kids, you know, teaching mindfulness. Like that's another passion of mine, is helping the community, helping out kids, because like, I went through a rough life for a minute, and it derived from my childhood,
right?
You know, and so I ended up doing that. But as I was doing that program, the master's program, I was like, I just didn't feel right.
Right.
They had me do soul searching because it was a psychotherapy program. So I was gonna become a therapist.
Oh, awesome.
hip hop therapist. I was coming up with my own genre.
Like, I'm going to be a celebrity hip hop therapist.
It has to be special. You know what I mean? I was like, it got to be dope. Like, I'm got to be known. It got to be something that where I can really make some change. And I thought about it. I was like, you know, this program really not feeling right to me right now. You know what I mean? I didn't see a lot of people that look like me in there.
Right.
I was the only, I'm probably the only, like the second, probably second black person in the class. And it wasn't a lot of men. And I didn't really trip off that. I wanted to be like, maybe I can be this guy because I know the kids need more men. You know what I mean? But it just didn't feel right. And so
sure.
I said, what do I want to do? Like, what is my ultimate fun? What is my ultimate passion? And I said, you know what? I want to open a restaurant. I want to do music and I want to be on social media.
Is it true that, did you go vegan originally or vegetarian because you were afraid of the 2017 flu?
I did. I always change a bunch of stuff because of my fear of health. Like I said, like, I've been drinking these smoothies and these wellness shots religiously because of that. So, but then what it does is it changes my habits and it makes me a healthier person. So, I did. I got sick, like, and I was like having a cold, sweats, and I was like, this is crazy. Like, I felt like I've never been that sick before, and so I was trying everything. And usually all my remedies work, but it wasn't working. So I was like, all right, I'm done. I'm like, I'm not eating no more meat. I'm not eating no more cheese. I first started with meat, and my wife showed me what the health. And then I was like, oh, no, I'm not eating. I'm not eating no more cheese. You know, I'm done. And that's how it happened. That's how it happened. And I believe if I didn't go vegan, this wouldn't be here.
The original iteration of a vegan mob was you were just taking orders through Instagram, right? And dropping food off to people.
You know, I would post pictures of food all the time. And people would just, you know, and people would be like going crazy. And I think I got some like professional pictures taken and they were like, and then my followers just started to jump up. And then I planned to have like a gumbo social, where, and somebody stole my name too. Cause I made that name up. Like, I seriously made that name up on the spot. Like, yeah. And then like 2 weeks, and then there was a gumbo social happening. Yeah. Two weeks away apart from mine. And I was like, oh, come on, man. What? I'm like, somebody's just really just stole my name. Like,
pretty, it's a pretty good name.
I never heard because I came up with that on the top. Like, I'm a rapper, so I was like, oh yeah, we don't call it gumbo social. Like, I didn't get that from a traditional event. I made that up, right? So somebody stole the name. In order to get people to come to the gumbo social, what I did is I had a day where I gave out free gumbo. In my neighborhood, I set up at Safeway and I just gave out free gumbo and then after that, the next day, it was so successful that I set up and I started and I sold gumbo and smacaroni with a combination. Like, I just sold it little five. And I sold it for like $5.
Yeah.
Then I went to actually sold it. Here's how ironic it is. I went to the neighborhood I'm in now, and then people in San Francisco were like, "We need that. We need that." Like, where are you at? Where are you at? They were like asking where I was at and everything. And so I decided, I was like, you know what? I have so much. Many people are asking me. I was like, you know what? Where are you at? I'm coming. I'm about to deliver. And I had 70 little small things left. I was like, I got 70 left. Who wants them? And so
this is all through Instagram.
All through Instagram. I delivered some in Oakland, And then I delivered some in San Francisco, and I delivered them all within a couple hours, all 70 of them.
Right.
People were buying hell of them. It was crazy. Yeah. And then my daughter told me, this is crazy. Like, this is a universe. This is how I'm really spiritually connected. Like, my daughter told me, she's 6 years old now. She was five then, or maybe she was four going on five. I don't know. She was actually four going on five. It was her month. She was about to turn five. And she told me, I don't want you to go to work.
Right.
And I was like, well, I have to go to work. And I was driving Uber at the time. I was like, I have to go to work. I have to get money. And she's like, you don't have to go to work. And she pulled me. And I was like, all right. I thought about it. You know, I'm not working for a boss. And so I was like, all right, well, I'm not going to go to work. And my wife said, just walk out on faith. She's like, just walk out on faith. Mm-hmm. And then she was like, maybe, you know, we talked about deliveries. I don't know the exact story. If she said, maybe you could deliver some food, or if I said something. But what happened is I got on the internet and I said, yo, I'm delivering my plates tomorrow. Who wants them? And then people started to order. It was the craziest experience because I was like, damn, I didn't know I was about to prep like this. It's crazy. I prepped. I delivered 50 orders. I made $800 in like 4 hours.
That's fucking better than Uber too.
Yeah, I was like, this is looking way better than Uber. I was like, I'm done. So I never turned back.
Now it seems so obvious. It's like, oh, there's a business here. People clearly want my shit. But then it took your daughter being like, don't go to work, for you to realize how real it was.
Yeah.
That's
right.
That's so crazy.
It's crazy.
So then
it's funny how you get the messages.
Yeah.
Where the messages come from, you know?
So then you had a car, obviously. Then did you like, how did the whole like it's the mob thing start?
So the it's the mob thing was me. So talking to my boy Evan, we were talking about vegan mob.
Right.
First I said veggie mob. It just didn't sound cool. Evan was like, I don't know if that sound right. And so we're sitting there and they were like, vegan mob.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, ooh, and I just started going crazy. I was like, that's it. Cause I already had mob.
It had to be mob.
Yeah. And I was like, you know what? We're going to pull up and I'm going to be like, it's the mob. And that's what I told him. I said, I'm going to have everybody saying that. Right.
When you bring deliveries.
Right. When I make deliveries, I'm like, when I'm there, I'm like, yeah, we over here. It's the mob. And he was like, we were going crazy and it was funny. And then I just start saying it. It's the mob. And then so many people just start saying it. That was it. Like, I knew that the slogan, that the catchy slogan was going to catch on. And then the pull up on us, baby. Right? That was an accident. I was just like doing one of the videos and I was like, pull up on us, baby. And my voice might have cracked. And I just really started laughing. Like, I was laughing. And then I was like, when I laugh at myself,
you know something's there.
I know it's there. I like it. Oh, it's a genius move now. Like, anytime I laugh at myself, I know it's a rap. Like, that's what I do in music. If I'm saying some lyrics, and they sound so clever, and I'll start laughing. Like, if I laugh at it, I'm like, oh shit, that's crazy. What did I? I'm like, man, it's crazy. What did I just say? Like. If I laugh at it, yeah, I got something. And so and my wife did not like pull up on this baby.
Yeah.
She thought it sounded corny. And I was like, nah. This is the one right here. Trust me. And pull up on this baby almost stole it. It's in my spot. Like, it's like neck and neck.
Well, I'll tell you from someone, I mean, I haven't been there. I haven't been able to travel, obviously. And I knew the pull up on us baby better than I knew that it's the mob just from social.
right. That's crazy, yeah. Right?
It's because I think when you say the pull up on us baby, you're a different character a little bit. You play a little character.
Right. That's all it is. I do. You're right. You got it on the nose. Cause I go into character with vegan mob. Like, you know, the characters are a part of me, but I go into a character like that, you know. I go into like maybe like this like I don't know what it is, like old school 70s guy sales pitch. I don't know what it is, you know. I'm like, pull up on this baby. Like, I don't know if it's Bootsy Collins. I don't know what it is, right? But it comes out.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent,
You want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday, and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
A lot of restaurants take themselves too seriously to do something like that. But I feel like when you can have a fun kind of lyrical catchphrase that is like, I hate to say fun for everyone, but it is kind of like.
What happened with me is I just turned on the camera. And once the camera turns on, I just start performing.
Can't help it.
And I was having a good time. Like I'm happy. I'm living my dream. So that's the energy they're getting. They're like, oh, this guy, you know, like, oh, it feels good. Like I like this energy. It happened. Like the universe is like, I truly believe in like the law of attraction. And this is, like I said, this is something that I've been passionate about all my life. Going back to the Culinary Academy, I always wanted to be a celebrity chef, you know? Yeah, I'm a rapper, so I obviously like performing. I obviously like the attention, you know what I mean? I like the claps, you know? And so it wouldn't be no other way for me. And I feel like vegan mob and my personality of being on social media has turned me in to a celebrity chef and growing to be, you know? And it's crazy how just like all my dreams are unfold, like just coming true.
You were crushing with delivery. People were starting to catch on to the brand. You were looking around for a truck, but you actually ended up skipping that step and just opened a brick and mortar, right?
Yeah, I went to delivery. I would do three deliveries a week and then two pop-ups a week. So I would give myself a full schedule.
And making real money, right?
Yeah, I was making real money. Like the pop-ups I was doing, like for a pop-up, it was, you know, just for being known, just coming out the gate, I was doing like $2,000 in 3 hours. My friend wanted to sell me, he was going to sell me his food truck, but he couldn't sell me the food truck because the people that were going to sell him his new food truck were trying to rip him off. And so he was like, man, I'm not buying that. He was like, I'm sorry, I can't sell it. He was going to end up getting this spot where I'm at. And he just felt like it belonged to me.
It's a former Quickway, right? Like it's got these huge giant beams and you've painted neon green vegan mob all over it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that the physical location has become part of the brand now?
Definitely.
Yeah.
I think it helped create the brand. My friend was like, oh, they're going to see you have something.
Right.
They're going to be like, oh, man, he got a restaurant.
Right.
You know? I was like, man, this is about to make me look bigger than life. Mm-hmm. I feel like the business has damn near like a persona, like it has a, you know, because it's me.
Because Vegan Mob is pickup only, mm-hmm. you guys were pretty well set up for COVID, fortunately, unfortunately. What was it like when everything hit? You never shut, right?
We never shut. But it was like, okay, the first day was like, I felt like it was terrible. And so then, so I ended up cutting the hours to being like only open for a few hours. Then I saw sales start to pick up. And then I just said, forget it. We opened up and I started to like think of things, delivery. We did delivery. We did little family packs. Mm-hmm. The deliveries were just too out of hand. And I was doing it because I was trying to help out people who were right. in their houses. And I was trying to find another avenue to produce income. And then I just said, you know what? I just said, forget it. And then after that, I guess the people who couldn't get the deliveries was just saying, oh, well, we'll just go come get food then. And so then the sales started to jump mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. up higher than what they were normally.
yeah.
And we were already busy.
Yeah.
And so then it started to get busier and busier. And so, we never really had an issue. Just maybe like
I've heard it's kind of a safe social distance party outside Vegan Mob right now.
Right, right. That's what it is. That's what it is. I tried to put the chairs out, but we're so busy that, you know, we need somebody to come in and wipe them down.
Yeah.
And so I decided to put them back in until we get more staff so I can have somebody to do that.
And how was it when the protests started?
Yeah, it felt even better. Like I dedicated like one day I didn't even post nothing about Vegan Mob. I just posted about like the protests, about like Black Lives Matters. Mm-hmm. And I felt like, you know, I might get a decline in sales or something. It's a business page, but I didn't care. I was like, I gotta put myself first. I gotta put my people first. So I did that, and then business jumped even more. It's crazy. It was like I can't do nothing wrong. You know, but the moral of the story is when you're authentic, when you're being real, and you're doing the right thing, you're going to get the response. At first, on my page, I was trying to make it like more of a food page, professional. And then once I turned the camera on, I just gave up.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, you know what? Forget this. And that's what brought my crowd in.
Yeah.
Me being me. And so it's just a message, just keeps reminding me to be me.
Do you forget sometimes? And like, because like as it grows bigger and bigger, I'm sure that you feel a little bit more pressure to do like the right thing on the Instagram and not just to fuck around.
No, well, what happens is I'm just getting more busy. And so I'm not posting the videos like I usually do mm-hmm. Because I'm just busy. Like I don't have time to goof like I used to do. And I actually want to find more of those. I want to find more time to do that, you know? But
now it's like you got to put it on the calendar, screw around for 30 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know?
Wow, once everything, delivery was really coming together and you were starting to look out for investors to help you build the first space or the first truck, were landlords and lenders receptive, or was it difficult?
In the beginning, it was difficult. It was difficult to convince the people at the building, basically. Like the loan companies were a little bit more easily mm-hmm. persuaded. Actually, one company tried to tell me I think they wanted the money back because I didn't do the truck, and they were like, oh well, nah, you know, lease agreements are tough and da da da, and I was really trying to explain to them like, you don't understand, like I'm not the average startup. Mm-hmm. Like if you pay attention to social media, that this is going to be huge. but I couldn't explain to them. It was hard for me to explain to them.
Right.
And then with the owners of the building, it was even more harder, more difficult, because they're older and they're not into like social mm-hmm. media, and they don't really know. All they know is that I'm a new business. And so they're like, how are you going to do this? You know? And so, that was where it was difficult. And, now,
yeah,
when I'm going to spots, it's like, what can we do for you?
You know,
this spot, we can help you out. We can make sure this spot is good. The owner really loves Vegan Mob. Like, it's like, oh shit. I'm like, what the hell is this?
Hey, you walk in and the old bankers are like, it's the mob.
Yeah, they're like, they're tripping out. I'm making an offer right now, actually on Fillmore Street in mm-hmm. San Francisco. I don't think I would have any problems with getting in now to the places. Like, I don't think so, like, because of what's going on and because of the popularity and because nobody is looking to give an offer on buildings right now. So it's just a whole different ball game.
It's a good time.
Truly a blessing. It's a great time. Yeah. It's a great time.
So, what do you think Vegan Mob is in, like, you know, a few years? Say, how many do you want? 2 or 3 restaurants, or do you want like a lot?
Vegan Mob in 2 to 3 years. Shoot, I see RDC two in the next few months. Mm-hmm. I see 3 in the next year and a half. My thing is, like, I do want to spread around the country, like maybe the big cities, you know, Atlanta, New York, Vegas. I want to be in the big areas. I don't know if I want to make it McDonald's, but I want it to be huge, and I want it to be desirable.
Yeah.
And so that means have a lot, but not flood.
You mentioned that you're getting back, you're doing a little bit more music now. A lot of these articles, all this press that's coming out about you, refers to you as a former rapper.
Mm-hmm.
How does that make you feel?
Personally, this is what's motivated me to do some more music, because I never stopped rapping.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I gotta show them that I'm not no former. I still rap, you know. I'm still dope, you know what I mean? So
just because you're a fucking restaurateur now.
Yeah. I gotta show them what's up. So I gotta show them what's up, man. The rappers still respect me. Mm-hmm. And so I still have fans that want me to put out albums. So some of those titles are about to change in a minute. You know.
All right, so give me your timeline.
San Francisco opening up, hopefully 6 to 8 months.
Shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I like to move.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna tell you like this. I got the keys in August, mid-August, for this building, and I was open October 6th.
Yeah.
So I move pretty fast.
But I think that's an important thing right now with everything's going on. It's so important to be flexible.
So I'm ready to go. Like, I don't know any other way to move. I don't even know any other way to work.
Yeah.
I like to see it. I like to get it done. I like it to be up. I like it to be operating. I feel like the people want it. I want to give it to the people.
And what's okay? And what is the good first order at a Vegan Mob for someone who hasn't been?
My plate. You get a protein. You get 3 sides. It's usually the go-to side would be the go-to protein would be the brisket.
Which is what?
Which is a product that I get from my guy, Chef Chu. It's called Better Chu.
Yeah.
Right? He actually owns a restaurant called Veg Up. And it's his steak. But what we do is I season it up like I would do ribs. With a rub on it, I do an actual rub, and then I smoke it.
Wow.
And then we hit it with the mob sauce, and you will think you're eating barbecue. I mean, you are eating barbecue.
All right, Toriano Gordon, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate having you on.
All right, fam. Thank you, Dan. I appreciate you, family.
I'll be out there soon.
All right, have a good one, bro. Hey, make sure when you come out here and you pull up on us, baby, hit me up, man. I come down there and meet you down at the spot.
All right, I will.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate that.
Thank you so much for listening to Eater's Digest. Again, my name is Daniel Janine. That was Toriano Gordon. Please follow him at Official Vegan Mob on Instagram. Thank you so much to everyone for listening. Please send the episode to a friend if you loved it. Throw us some stars and check us out next week. I'm not sure what we've got, but I'm sure it will be good content.